For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his work, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Excuse me. We're going to take a couple of weeks, I guess, looking at this psalm. This is my favorite psalm, I think. Or is it Psalm 23? I don't know. I've got lots of favorites. It's one of my favorite psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forgetting none of his benefits. Bless the Lord. What does that bless mean? And I thought it would be interesting to look into the Hebrew. The Hebrew is the word barak. Barak. And it means to bless, kneel, to be blessed, to adore, to cause to kneel. It's this picture of somebody getting on their knees and kneeling before God and humbling themselves before God and lifting their hands in praise to him, telling him how wonderful he is and how beautiful he is and how worthy he is. And it's that act, but it is on the knees. And sometimes we can be on the knees in our heart. We have an attitude of submission and humility before God. But the psalmist is saying, look, we need to do this, soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When was the last time you got on your knees? When was the last time you got on your knees before God and just blessed him? When was the last time, and we sang it, this is our desire to give you my heart, to give you my soul. When was the last time you did that? You submitted your whole being to God. Now if you sung it and meant it, I suppose it was this morning. Barak is a Hebrew word that calls us to kneel in submission before our God. It's the picture of praising and adoring God on our knees. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you see what he's doing? He's telling his soul. He's telling his body. He's telling his person, bless the Lord. Why does he have to do that? Why do you have to tell yourself to bless God? God never changes. He's always worthy of worship. But sometimes stuff happens that changes you, or you go through things that you don't feel like blessing God. You don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel like, or you know, lots of things happen, don't they? You know, so sometimes we can feel like we're on top of the mountain and we're in ecstasy in our praise and it's really easy. And other times we can feel like misery guts that got out the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes things can be going really well and you get bad news, or you get, and what are you going to do? Because the God who we worship stays the same. The God who deserves barak, whether things are going well or things are going badly. So, like, even this time last week, my mother fell over on her way to church, so Jane wasn't here. Well, she was here at the start, but she had to go. So I'm here, and my mum's broken her pelvis, and she's been rushed into hospital. So I've got a choice, haven't I? Do I bless God anyway, or do I worry about my mum and think, why does this happen to us? You know, for goodness sake, have I not got enough on my plate that now my mum's broken her pelvis? For goodness sake, life isn't fair. For goodness sake, do I start grumbling, or do I start moaning, or do I start feeling sorry for myself? Well, whatever I start, God is still worthy to be blessed, because he didn't change. He was worthy of barak before I started, and he was worthy of barak after I got the news, because God is worthy. And sometimes we have to tell ourselves to do the right thing. We have to command our body, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, he's getting a hold of his soul, and you need to get hold of your soul when you come before God. You need to start speaking to it and commanding it to do the right thing. Sometimes you'll go through tough times. Sometimes you go through hurt and pain. Sometimes you can be in a dark place. Sometimes you can feel low and depressed, or we could be coming to church, we're bored and disinterested. Distracted and focused on other things. I wonder what the cricket score is. Or we could have sinned and moved away from God. Or suffered unexpected loss. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And sometimes we can even blame God for the stuff that he's doing. But we have to get a hold of our emotions. We've got to get hold of our feelings. And we've got to bless God because he's worthy of being blessed. And when you bless God, it makes things better. All these things affect how we feel. We're human, aren't we? We're just made of flesh and blood. And that's why you have to sometimes command yourself. It doesn't always come naturally. Oh, I think I'll barak now. No. I will barak because it's the right thing to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, the Lord is the same in the ecstasy of the mountaintop experience as in the valley of the shadow of death. He is exactly the same. Either he's worthy of worship or he isn't, but he is exactly the same. Turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1. The devil comes and steals from Job. Steals his wealth, kills his children. Job doesn't really understand what's happening. In verse 20, this is his response. Then Job arose and tore his robes and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, whatever you're going through, whatever I go through, it's not as bad as Job. And here he is. He gets on his face and he worships God. He falls on the ground and worships. He says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." That word blessed is the word barak. He has a wrong understanding of what's happened to him because he says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I don't read in any of those scriptures the Lord took anything away from him. Satan took everything away from him. But even with his false understanding of scripture, he still does what he knows is good to do. I'm going to lie on the floor. I'm going to worship God and I'm going to barak him. I'm going to bless him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Anybody been to the national stadium, Principality, I think they call it now, when it's a Grand Slam game? Okay, Grand Slam, one over there, one, two, three, four, five. So, you know, when you're playing for a Grand Slam, it's a little different, isn't it? It's like, you know, we're going to play Italy in a few weeks, and it'll be, come on, Wales. It's, you know, but we're all expecting to smash the Italians and go home. And what have no? There's not that excitement about it. But I remember when Wales played Ireland for the first time in 27 years, playing for a Grand Slam. That was way back in the 2000s. You know, it's the first time in 27 years that we're playing for a Grand Slam. I had a ticket. It was against Ireland, and I could have sold my ticket for £500. But was I going to sell my £50 ticket for £500? You've got to be joking. I'm going to the game. You know, and when we got to the game, it was just like everybody's so excited, you know, with our whole heart and our whole means. It's just like we're going to, you know, see this Grand Slam game. And then if you remember, Gethin Jenkins charges down the ball and he runs on and he scores a try and the whole stadium goes crazy. And then for the next sort of 50 minutes, we're all going crazy. Why? Because we're praising Wales with our whole heart. And then we got the prize and we won the Grand Slam. And we were elated for about 5 minutes and then we all had to go home into normal life. Whatever that was like for us. But see, we gave it our whole heart. We were hoarse in our throats. And here's the thing with your praise. You can praise half-heartedly or you can praise whole-heartedly. You can come in here and go, oh no, Alex says I've got to sing the songs because that's what the scripture says. Right, I'm going to sing them because I don't want to be busted when he starts, you know. But that's not wholeheartedly, is it? God wants us to praise wholeheartedly. But here's the thing, it's a choice. But I don't feel like it. What's that got to do with it? But my mum's been rushed into hospital with a broken pelvis. What's that got to do with it? But I don't. And you fill in the blanks. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So God is looking for us to be a church that is like, we're going to bless God and we're going to do it with all that we have. You know, we're not just going to go through the motions. Oh, we've got to sing a few praise songs and then we get to the good stuff when Alex teaches. No. The good stuff is praising God. You know, he looks down, the Bible says, and he enjoys the praises of his people. But you know, I want to encourage you to give your whole heart to it. Don't just come. You know, he sees. He knows. I'm not interested in the sense of, I'm not trying to get, you know, I'm not marking people's praise. But I am putting the word before you. Barak. I will bless the Lord. And you know, when we start to do that, when we start to praise and worship with our whole heart, things begin to change. Things begin to move. We can enter into a supernatural dimension that opens prison doors. We can enter into a supernatural dimension that routs the enemies, the armies of the enemy. It's praise and worship has power in it. And Jesus says this, Matthew 22, verse 36 to 7. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. And just that whole sense of, you know, this is all. God wants all of our love. And he wants it expressed through worship. He wants all of our hearts. You know, he just doesn't want bits of it, you know. The bits you don't want to, don't cost you anything. And sometimes you can come here and it will cost you to praise him. It will cost you to barak. And like, come on, let's bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's bless him, bless him, bless him. And the last thing in your flesh you want to do is bless God because this has happened and that has happened and this has happened. And we all understand if you didn't want to do it, but it costs you when you have to do it like that. It costs you when you're in the valley of the shadow of death to praise God. Yet God never changes. Let's go back to Psalm 103. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's repeated himself. And forget not all his benefits. Do you know, there are certain benefits to being in the family of God. And there are certain responsibilities. Right now we're in the midst of, I just wish they'd stop talking about it, really. It's in the newspapers, it's on the TV, it's on the, you know, the Harry and Meghan saga. I'm not that interested. But Harry is a member of the royal family. And there are great benefits that come from being a member of the royal family, isn't there? I mean, a 2.2 million refurb on a house paid by the taxpayer is a massive benefit of being in the royal family. And I appreciate they've said they're going to pay it themselves. Well, they've got 2.2 million to pay for a refurb of a house. And it's, you know, they get the status and they get the privilege and they get all these benefits from being part of the royal family. Police protection. They get to meet the Queen. They get to stand on the balcony. They get all sorts of stuff, but it comes with responsibilities. The benefits don't come in a vacuum. They come with responsibilities. And it seems that they don't want the responsibilities of being part of that family. So they're giving away the benefits. Do you know, in the family of God, it comes with benefits and it comes with responsibilities. Let's not forget the benefits, he says. All the promises are yes and amen in him. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. We have great benefits being part of this family. In fact, it's the best benefits package you could have anywhere, anytime, any place. Being part of the family of God. Let's not forget the benefits, because sometimes when you're feeling a bit low, when things aren't turning around, you don't see certain things that you have. Now, a couple of weeks ago, a lot of us were in this safeguarding morning. Who was in safeguarding morning? Yes, yeah, so quite a few of us were. And in safeguarding morning, they played this video of some people playing basketball, and they were passing the ball, and we were told, count the number of passes. And so we were all diligent, and we were in there, and this one passed to that one, and there were 13 passes. And the guy said, okay, how many of you say there were 13 passes? And we all stuck our hands up, and we were all proud of ourselves. And then he said, how many of you saw the moon walking gorilla? And I'd missed it, because I was concentrating on the passing. And they played the video again, and as the ball is passed, there is this man dressed up as a gorilla, sort of moonwalking his way through the pitch, and you just didn't see him, because you weren't looking at what was there. And sometimes we don't notice what God has done for us, what the benefits are of following Christ, because we're focusing on the wrong things. You know, if all we do is focus on our problems and focus on the mountains before us, we forget about our God, the mountain-moving God, and our mountain gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if I change my focus to God, and I exalt him, and I make him my heart's desire, do you know those problems don't seem so bad? We need to remind ourselves of the benefits. If we just focus on our circumstances, they're good sometimes, they're bad other times, but God never changes. His promises never change. And you know, I can say everything's going to be all right, shalom to you, all is well. Why? Because my focus is on God, not on my circumstances. Are my circumstances good or bad? They're just the same as yours. I got to live here. Relate to people just like you have to relate to people. But what I find with God is he blesses me as I follow him. Here are a few of the benefits. Colossians 3, we have a reward. When I think about the word reward, I see a picture of somebody, a $1,000 reward for getting, you know, Billy the Kid or somebody. But we get a reward. What do we get a reward for? Well, Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So if I work as unto God in my job, even if I don't like my job, but I work as unto God in my job, I'm rewarded. I get a reward. We reap a harvest. Number two, let's not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Harvest is coming to my house. You're going to be surprised how much harvest. You're going to think it's not fair how much harvest. But you know, harvest is reflective of seed sown. And some of us have got to sow the word in our lives. We've got to start sowing the word in our hearts. But harvest is coming if you do not give up. Number three, you receive the crown of life. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Anybody love you? Anybody love the Lord? You know, we're going to get a crown of life. What are the benefits? I'm going to get a crown of life. Number four, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. I'm going to find things. I'm going to receive things, and doors are going to be open for me. That's part of the benefits. Number five, we win the prize. Philippians 3 verse 14, of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Number seven, the Father sees what you do in secret and he will reward you publicly. Number eight, Proverbs 11 verse 18 says, the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. If you do the right thing, there's a reward coming. Number nine, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. I'm part of the family. I'm not of royal birth. I'm born again by the Spirit of God. I'm of God's birth. Number 10, humble yourself before God and he'll lift you up. James 4 verse 10. Number 11, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Good things happen to me. I get mercy every day. Psalm 23 verse 6. Number 12, I'll end with number 12, but you could go on to number 129, couldn't you? There's just so many benefits. The gifts of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. I get eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing benefits package. Just amazing. And we can go on and on and on, but God is so good to us. You know, and if you focus on what you don't have, you focus on the passing ball of the circumstances, you'll miss the moonwalking monkey. But the psalmist here, he lists five. He forgives all your iniquities. Number two, he heals all your diseases. Number three, he redeems your life from the pit. Number four, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Number five, he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a lot of benefits in following Jesus. Let's not forget the benefits. I was praying. We came here on Monday. It was quite an unusual meeting, really. It's quite a strong presence of God. And we came here Monday, and as I was lying on the floor, baracking, I just felt God speak to me about doing something a little bit different today. So we're going to go a bit different today. So just prepare your hearts, and maybe God will speak to you with regards to that. But he spoke to me on this passage of scripture, Psalm 103, and that's why we're looking at it today. I want to look at these benefits. We probably only do three of them, probably. I don't think we're going to get five. Number one, he forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all your iniquities. How many? Do you just want to stand up if all your iniquities are forgiven? He forgives all your iniquities. He forgives. How many of you get flashbacks of stuff they did? Like really crazy stuff they did where they iniquitized, is that the right word? You can sit down for a moment. So I get flashbacks sometimes. And the flashback, how could I be so stupid or weak to have done that? Anybody, okay, you're with me? So here I am. He forgives all my iniquities. We all stood up. Hallelujah. All my iniquities are forgiven. Flashback. And you go back to, we were laughing. My brother found out that my mum found out that I used to steal from her from this very church because I had a flashback and I told you about it. You know, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven by God. I'm forgiven by her. But it's like you feel guilty. How many people feel guilty sometimes? You get a flashback and it produces guilt. And then it can produce condemnation. And then you feel like you're not forgiven. Okay? But we're all in the realms of our feelings here. And usually it's not a flashback to when you were 10 stealing from your mother. It's a flashback to last week or the month before or when you should have known better. And the enemy, the Bible says, he is the accuser of the brethren. So in the soul life, in your flesh, you feel, you remember, you feel, generates guilt. But you're forgiven. Amen? We all stood up. We're all forgiven. We must never walk in the condemnation of the enemy. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Absolutely none. I am forgiven. And here's the thing. It says it here, but as far as the east is from the west, so my sins are removed from me. And the blood of Jesus. If you turn with me to 1 John 1 verse 7 to 10, it says this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, so I am cleansed from all sin. I'm a clean man. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So I'm a clean man because my sin is washed away, but I do sin. What does sin mean? I do not fulfill the perfect character, will, and desires of God. It's falling short of God's glory. But it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. So we are forgiven. All our iniquities are forgiven. All our iniquities are paid for by the same source, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we are forgiven. And when we sin, we need to bring it to the blood so that God would cleanse us. And then I would stay clean. Now it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So let's think about that then. To be righteous is to be in right standing with God. And he who knew no sin became sin. So he took my sin so I could become clean and righteous. So when I stand before God, I am righteous because of the blood of Jesus. It's not I'm good or I'm okay or I'm perfect. No, I'm righteous. And because I'm righteous, I can have confidence to come before his throne. Come boldly before the throne of God. See, I'm not a sinner trying to get better. I'm somebody who's righteous that occasionally falls short. Because my righteousness is given to me as a gift from Christ Jesus. It's a bit like you can see my hand now. That's my hand. It's like when I stand before God, it's just God sees the hand of Jesus. As though I was Jesus. Because the only person who can stand before God is Jesus. And the only way I can stand before God is through Jesus. It's like I put my Jesus suit on. Righteousness, his righteousness. And this is amazing. We don't have to live in guilt and shame. We don't have to live in condemnation anymore. What a benefit. That's enough to make me want to just barrack. It's enough to make me want to just worship. And if you struggle with sin and condemnation and guilt, then you have to come back to the scriptures. You don't have to live like that. You can be living in the innocence of the garden once again because of the Holy Ghost, because of what Christ has done on the cross. I can be washed clean. I can be standing in innocence before God. Not because I never sinned. He who says he doesn't sin, he is a liar or makes God a liar. God says we sin. Everybody sins. Everybody falls short. But I am free from sin. I am free from the power of sin. I am free from the consequences of sin. I am free from sin because of Christ Jesus. What a wonderful benefit. Forgetting none of the benefits. Who forgives all your diseases. Sorry, all your iniquities. Number two. Who heals all your diseases. All our diseases he heals. How many is all? So there's something where there's the power of God that needs to be released in the church where all of our diseases, all of our diseases. Now, in Exodus 15, God's known by his name, but in Exodus 15, he calls himself the Lord thy healer, Jehovah Rapha. So he establishes this covenant with his people that he is their healer and that none of the diseases that came on Egypt would come on them. So, you have in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2 verse 24, Peter takes up this theme and he says, by his stripes we were healed. So we have healing as part of what Christ did on the cross. He heals all our diseases. And, do you know, when we survey the New Testament, there wasn't one way that Jesus went around healing people. There were multiple ways. You know, he'd lay hands on them, he'd speak to them, he'd spit and make mud balls, you know, he'd poke, all sorts of different ways and so forth. He had authority over sickness and disease. But there was one thing in common. Everybody who came to him got healed. And I believe in healing. And I know this, I can't heal anybody. We were in Fort Worth a few years ago, and for some crazy reason, they'd asked people up for healing, and I got asked to pray for someone. So I was praying for this older lady, maybe 70 even, and she was deaf in one ear. So I prayed for her, and nothing seemed to happen. Okay, nothing seemed to happen. I released my faith, I believed, nothing seemed to happen. And I just felt like God said, well, just confess your healing. Just say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Just don't let go. Nothing's happened yet. Let's just believe God. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. And then on the way home, she's driving home, and her ear pops open, and she can start to hear again. And God heals her ear miraculously. I don't have any idea. All I know is I prayed for her, and nothing seemed to happen. And see, that sometimes we pray for people and nothing seems to happen. We go, oh, nothing did happen. So here I'm going back to my hotel room feeling, well, I was a complete failure there. I prayed for the deaf woman and her ear didn't open. And she's driving home listening to, I don't know, FM, whatever, with both ears. And I had no idea about this until a year later when I went back to the same church and she grabbed me. So for a year she's been hearing with her deaf ear. And she told me about what happened. She said, you know, I can hear. I just wanted to let you know. So thank you very much for letting me know. She said, I did what you said and I can hear. And sometimes we just got to do what God says. And sometimes what God says is a little bit strange. So I want to do something just a little bit strange. I just got this thing. I've got some water here. And I've got this thing of just blessing people. And I wanted, and you got to trust me with this. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You get wet. What's the best thing is you get healed. You know, so I just saw myself and we're only through. We're going to go on beyond this. We're not closing service. We're just praying as we go. But I just saw people just standing who wanted to be prayed for and those around them just reaching their arms towards them and saying, just praying for them to be healed. And I just felt like I should bless them and just say, receive your healing. So I kind of want to do that. It's a bit different, isn't it? So if you want me to pray for you, just stand. And if, you know, stand. Okay, just stand. And so this isn't like Alex's thing. This is just like we're going to believe God. We're going to ask the Holy Ghost to come. And if you're not standing, why don't you just raise your hand towards somebody? And I mean, I don't know how long this will take us. We'll just come along. We'll start this then. I'm just going to bless you, okay? That's what I saw God do. Or what I saw me do. And we're going to believe God. So, Father, we just want to thank you that you heal all our diseases. Father, we want to thank you that by your stripes we are healed. And, Father, I just ask that by your Holy Spirit, Father, we recognize that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit people are healed. And I pray that you would just heal the bodies of those standing here in Jesus' name. Amen. So stay standing. Do you want to stay standing? Because we're going to just bless you. Is that okay? I'll start this stand and we'll go around here. It's ordinary water, by the way. 30p a bottle. Price may go up after today. So we just bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. I just want to bless you. Just pray for those around you. If you're not waiting, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Just receive your healing. He heals all your diseases. Receive your healing. Just receive your healing. Just receive your healing. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Just receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Just receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll get around to you shortly. Just receive your healing in the name of Jesus. 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 He heals all your diseases. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. He heals all our diseases, forgetting none of his benefits. Forgetting none of his benefits. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. He heals all our diseases. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. 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 He heals all our diseases. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. 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 He heals all our diseases. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. 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 If I just prayed with you, just pray this after me. Father, thank you that you heal all our diseases. Father, thank you that but by your stripes I am healed. And I ask you to make this real to me, that my body would change in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now just remember the deaf woman. She woke out and she said, "Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed." Let that be your confession. Okay, there's no magic in the water. It was a point of faith. Okay, there's no magic in me. God is the healer. Christ is the healer. But there is something about your words. So just like that deaf woman, thank you, Jesus, you heal all my diseases. Okay, thank you. Let's just move on then. Number three, he redeems your life from the pit. God redeems your life from the pit. What does it mean to redeem, and what is the pit? Two questions. And this, I think, God wants me to do something here that's a little bit different. And we'll probably have to finish when we do this. So to redeem, it means to buy back. to pay back, an act as a kinsman redeemer. It's where you pay a ransom. With the kinsman redeemer, it belonged to somebody else, but you pay a ransom so that you can have it. You can redeem somebody from slavery. To redeem is to say, if Lance is in slavery, I can go to his master and say, well, how much would it cost? How much is he worth? You know, millions, absolute millions. I don't think I can afford you, Lance. But it's a redeemment by payment. It's to redeem with God being the subject. He's the redeemer. Individually from death. And you've got the picture of Israel in Egypt. He's the redeemer. Israel in exile. He's the redeemer. To be redeemed. It's making a payment to buy something back from a place they shouldn't be. And Jesus was our payment of redemption. The blood of the Lamb paid the price to redeem us. So we have this picture of God the Father sending his Son as a price to redeem us out of a place that we shouldn't be into a place with him. So he redeems my life from the pit. The pit. What's the pit? It means destruction, corruption. But figuratively, it's like being in a ditch or in an animal snare. You know, you have this picture of, you know, the animal running and they've dug a hole and they've covered it over with palm tree leaves or something. And then the animal goes into the pit. That's what it means. That's how it's used. It's a cistern where there's just mud. It's an underground prison. It's to go down to the grave. And they're all sort of figurative words to describe a place where people find themselves in that they shouldn't be in, don't want to be in. There's no way out, and they're stuck. So Job was in that place where his children had died, he'd lost his wealth, he'd lost his health, and in fact, it says he's scratching his sores with, I don't know what it was, but he's in a pit. And this is what Job says in a pit. He says, I know. Every say, I know. See, Job, know, do you know? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And at the last, he'll stand upon the earth. So Job is in this pit. He has all the scriptures, all the promises of God that he had, if you like. maybe he didn't, because he was written before most of the New Testament. But all of the New Testament, in fact. But it's like he's still in this pit. He has a revelation of God. God's good. And yet he's scratching his sores with a bit of, I don't know, wood or something. And he's like, what am I doing here? But I know, there's something in him. But I know that my Redeemer liveth. See, God doesn't want us in a pit. God doesn't want our lives in a pit. But what we want, what some of us want is this. We want to win the lottery. And we want to like have somebody give us £10 million and then we can pay all our debts off, pay our mortgage off, move to the Bahamas and live life comfortably and forget about life and just everything's going to be okay. But God doesn't want that. It'd probably destroy most of us if it ever happened. What God wants, he wants you in the family. And he redeems you out of a pit. And the redemption out of a pit, it starts spiritually. The moment you get born again, you're in the family of God. And as long as you keep following Jesus, everything starts to turn. Everything starts to walk out, turn around to your good. Everything seems to change. And it's like, I'm in a different place now. All the circumstances are the same, but I'm not in the pit anymore. Because my Redeemer liveth, and he redeemed me out of that pit. He's paid the price. So John 10 verse 10 says this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, so that's like normal life without Jesus. Stuff happens. We lose. We get cheated. Some people are nice to us. Some people are nasty to us. But we're still in this world. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life in all its abundance. And so part of the benefits of following God is that he redeems you from the pit. Anybody here feel like they're in a pit at the moment? Anybody's circumstances just like, I can't seem to get out? What is it? I'm stuck in a pit of debt, ill health, sinful behavior, circumstances, just aimlessness, purposefulness. Don't know what to do with my life. Don't know where to go with my life. That can feel very real to people. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means life happens. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know where I would be had I not met Jesus? I'd be in a complete and utter mess. But the thief comes to redeem. He's redeemed you. He's paid a price for you. And I saw God, rather than me asking you to come forward, if you feel like that, I'm going to ask you to be really brave in a minute. I ask you to stand up if you feel like, hey, that's me. I'm in a snare. I'm in a cistern full of mud. I'm in an underground prison. I just feel like I can't get out. I'm stuck. That's me. There's no shame in that, but you've got to be brave to stand up, because if you stand up, people go, oh, that's them. But that was me too. And most people are in that situation. But one of the benefits of God is he redeems your life from the pit. So on the inside you change. And then he gets to work on the outside. And circumstances are subject to change, but his word is eternal and everlasting. So he wants to redeem people from the pit, not in their spirit, because they are if they put their trust in Jesus, in their thinking. Because as long as you think you're in a pit, as long as you think there's no way out of the pit, as long as you think you'll be. And so for some of you, you've got to be redeemed from the pit in your thinking. So we're going to do that. And this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to ask you to stand up shortly, and either me or Jane will come and get you. Now, why don't I just invite you forward? Well, that's not how I saw it. I think God wants me to act as God, to change your position physically so that your thinking starts to change. Because when your thinking starts to change, your expectation of what God will do in your life will start to change, and things will start to happen. And the very prison you feel you're stuck in will start to change. And then I'm going to pray. But I'm going to pray shalom over you. Just like the woman, all is well. Just like our conference, it is well. Shalom. Shalom. Because I think there's power in that word for us as a church, but there'll be power in that word for you as individuals. So if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the benefits here are he redeemed your life from the pit of sin, the pit of darkness that you were in. Spiritually, you're redeemed. But to start to see that work out in your life, you've got to change the way you think. You have to realize the prison door's open. You have to realize that there's fresh running water. You have to realize goodness and mercy come upon you. And it changes when you start to say, I am redeemed from the pit. Not when the circumstances change. I believe it when I see it doesn't work. I say it and it becomes true. I confess it. Because it's God's word. So if that's you, I'm going to ask my wonderful, lovely assistant here to help me. Would you like to stand? You don't have to say to anybody that what it is, anything. We're not even going to ask you. We're just going to pray shalom over you. So Jane, we're going to come and get you, okay? We're not asking you to come forward, because the Lord redeems you. So I'll grab you by the hand and I'll pull you forward because you're redeemed. We are changing the place you're in. You're no longer in the pit. You are redeemed from the pit. So Kerry, I'm going to redeem you. See, we have been paid for, so you are not in a pit anymore. we redeem you. He redeems us from the pit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. I am redeeming you. You have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, so you don't have to reside in the pit. I am redeeming you from the pit. Tim, would you like to come up? Can we sing Goodness of God? That would be a good song to sing now. I redeem you from the pit. I have bought you so you don't have to live in the pit. I am redeeming you from the pit. You're paid for. You're paid for. You're paid for. You're paid for. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forgetting none of these benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit. So what's changed? Nothing and everything. Nothing and everything. You've changed position. Circumstances might not have changed, but you need to speak shalom over your circumstances. If a lady can speak shalom when a boy had died in a bed, you can speak shalom. Let's say that together. All is well. 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 How are you doing? All is well. How are things going? All is well. How's your husband? How's your children? How's your family? All is well. We're speaking shalom over our family. We're speaking shalom over our finances. We're speaking shalom over our health. We're speaking shalom over our situation. And what will happen is this. Shalom will break out from the inside of you into the outside of you. And your circumstances will start to change. And your situations will start to change. And your family will start to change. And your health will start to change. Because all is well. And as we do that, we need to barak. We need to tell ourselves, when all hell breaks loose, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to bless the Lord because he is worthy. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to bless the Lord because he is good. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to bless the Lord because he'll do what he says. He is faithful and he will do it. He is faithful and he'll fulfill his word. All is well. So Father, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for your word. And Father, I speak shalom over this church. All is well. I speak shalom over this family. All is well, Lord. I speak shalom over the children of this church that aren't here. And I declare all is well. And Father, I ask you to fulfill your word amongst us. That you would forgive all our iniquities. That you would heal all our diseases. That this would become a disease-free church. That you would redeem our life from the pit. Father, that you would crown our heads with loving kindness. That you would satisfy us with good. And Father, that we would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I bless you. Bless you. Let's just bless God. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We bless you for your goodness. We bless you for your word. We bless you for your wonder and beauty. We bless you because you're worthy.